Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
Adam has been a movieaholic of late.
Well, I mean, as of late, but if you mean by like 20, 30 years, yes.
Yeah, pretty much. That's safe to say.
I don't think that's as of late. I think that's roughly the majority of his life.
The only reason prior to any sort of relationship that Adam ever held a job was to be able to buy comic books and go to the movies. Is that fair?
And funny,
video games.
And funny enough, most of those jobs either got me discounts on video games or got me free movies. So I think it's accurate, yeah. Let's say 75-80% of my life has been dedicated to that, and then 20% for all the other stuff, you know.
The
education, relationships, family.
I would say virtually every job I've had either got me free or reduced music. I worked in music for so long, the idea of having to purchase music is just, who does that?
When I finally got to the point where I'm just like, wait, so I give you $8 and I just watch it? What do you give me in return for the... That's strange. Is this how bartering works? How long have we been bartering? For all of the known history? Wow. Yeah, okay, well...
I didn't know that.
What if I give you $5 instead? No, it's a set price. That I don't like that at all.
I don't either.
Well, I have to see this movie here.
Apparently, not everyone gets free movie tickets, hangs out with the artist, and watches it from backstage.
I don't. Yeah. It's just strange.
And it's annoying. After you do it so many times, it gets to be the norm. And then when you're not doing it, it's like, huh? I don't like this one bit.
This isn't good at all. This is how the common folk live? No wonder they don't like it.
I don't want to be with the riffraff. So, yeah, there's that. For me, it's been free music, concerts, and books. But the books were usually sucky. And books that people just wanted me to promote because they were bad. And makeup.
That's first world problems there, Jane.
I
don't even know if those are... Those are two... Those are like so like ivory tower. I don't even know of their first world problems. Like,
I would not survive in medieval times. And watching that documentary with Chris Pine showed me that.
Wasn't a documentary.
Are you sure?
And B, I also wouldn't because insulin was not manufactured artificially.
I see.
They probably would have bled me with leeches and said that it was like bad humors or a demon.
So, have you looked up the history of the sugar sickness? I mean, is it...
I know that it is called the sugar down in the South.
Yeah, the sugar.
Even though technically the sugar is what I should not be having.
But...
That's like calling, like, if when Superman gets sick, they're like, he's got the kryptonites. Yeah, just lay down, sugar.
Yeah, movie review will start in a minute. But... Medieval times and all of my reading or watching of shows with a medieval theme, which I assume are documentaries
all of them, yes.
I just don't remember that as being a thing. So, like, was everyone with diabetes just automatically dead, or...
Well, I mean...
Or did they call it something else?
Within a couple... Like, they probably didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
But they're just like, put them with the lepers. Maybe it's leprosy. Either way... We don't have to deal. I think there's probably a lot of misdiagnosis.
Yes.
I'm going to do a medical show about medieval times called Misdiagnosis. Like, and it's just him. He's completely wrong about everything. Besides, like, a stab wound. They're like, oh, well, you got stabbed there. We should...
Bring in the leeches.
Give me that dirty knife over there. And I don't know, that cornmeal? I'll do something with that. I don't know. We'll do that.
I mean, really. Again, I'm just saying medieval, not actually having a grasp on all the hundreds of years of it. But being a wizard and stuff in that time, really, just as good as being a doctor, because you're kind of like...
Historically...
It might work.
And this pains me to say it. I don't think wizards were... What's the word? Real? So, essentially, yes. It would be like being an uneducated doctor. They'd be like, I've got chicken bones and the blood of a newt.
It might work.
I'm going to mix it. Look, we're gonna have good crops this year. And they're like, how do you see that in those? And they're like, oh, well, I'm reading the bones.
Yeah.
Know, reading them. Because I'm a wizard.
Before there was actual medicine, the real stuff, You could, it was a crapshoot, really.
Like, to be fair, like the Dark Ages probably would have been helped if we hadn't burned all of those libraries, like in ancient Greece, or if we hadn't, you know, just burning books always led to bad things. Like,
and speaking of, Adam went to see Robin Hood.
I did.
6 minutes later, let's start the movie.
That's
review.
Better. Normally, we go about 12 or 13.
I could continue to talk about boils and pestilence.
Well, I mean, Robin Hood, this particular iteration did not have a lot of boils and pestilence. But it's part of the ambiance.
And there was a real Robin of Knoxley. Yes, there was.
Loxley, and no, he's an amalgamation of several different characters.
Yes, but based on.
Strung together.
Very loosely.
Yes. Actually, very much like Arthur. Like, a lot of the characters that they have kind of cobbled together for this lived like centuries apart, but they're just like, that little John, we'll put him there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put him. He was his best friend.
Now, they're is like, little John the captain from McHale's Navy's dad, like in my favorite version of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn?
That's a really strange.
I didn't even know how to answer that question. I said McHale's Navy. I meant to say Gilligan's Island.
Which version of Robin Hood is which? Which one of them exists in the same universe?
My favorite is The Adventures of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn and Olivia de Havilland and Basil Rathbone.
I'm going to get in trouble for saying it, but my favorite.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you didn't know who any of those people were.
No, my favorite is Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
I enjoyed that immensely.
All right, I mean, it does have Alan Rickman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And before you want to start getting onto it, yes, I know, Kevin Costner's English accent is how you say, how the French say, non-existent.
However,
seems
what
like
if he
he
had
is
played
talking
it?
Like he is from the Bronx, eh? Eh?
What if he had played like Dick Van Dyke's accent?
That's probably what he did, like, the first day on set. Like, Kevin Reynolds is like, well, let's hear it, Kevin. He's like, every day's a lovely day with Mary. And he's like, don't ever do that again. We will not make any of our money back.
Before we continue with the movie review, Lin-Manuel Miranda is so concerned about this whole accent thing. And Dick Van Dyke, and he's spoken to Dick Van Dyke, even though he's not playing the same character, it's kind of like he's the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's essentially the same character, except he's a lamplighter. Anyway.
Right. Right. Pretty sure those jobs were interchangeable at that period in
time. Yes. You know,
whenever chimney sweeps didn't have chimneys to sweep, I believe they lit lamps.
I only have sweeping skills. I only have lighting skills.
Oh, well, it's easy. Come here. I'll show you. We'll cross train.
He apparently had several different tutors, like, embedded. And I believe the entire crew, or the bulk of the crew, was British. And I believe they all spoke like that. So he said, actually, it was hard for him to lose the accent. And so if people hate it, then they can, I guess, blame the acting coach and everyone he worked with.
Well, that's probably 100% more than Dick Van Dyke. I really think...
Dick Van Dyke said he had like an hour with some guy.
Yes, I totally believe that. Like,
and he's going with it.
And it was probably like 15 minutes of it they got to know each other. So it was really only 45 minutes of work with it.
They probably said, you know, go with your version of what Angela Lansbury did in Gaslight, her first film. Have you seen it?
I have not.
All right, Angela Lansbury is 17. Here's a movie review. It's called Gaslight. When you gaslight someone, it's when you're trying to make them think they're crazy. And it starred Ingrid Bergman, and she was being gaslit, but, you know, she wasn't crazy.
Not literally.
Well, anyway, the saucy maid of the house was 17-year-old Angela Lansbury.
I almost can't picture
saucy.
She was always Murder, She Wrote.
Teeny,
bed
tiny.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Enormous eyes. Bright, full lips, and she's good day, sir. You know, the whole thing. And
so, like, Betty White 117 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Only saucier.
I don't know if you can get saucier than Betty White.
I know. You have to see this character.
She's pretty much ragu. Like, she's about as saucy as it gets.
Anyway, you need to watch Gaslight. I'm surprised that hasn't been remade, because it is an exceptional film. In order to get his wife's millions left to her by her famous aunt, he woos her, marries her, and then searches for the millions.
This sounds like a Tyler Perry movie.
Hmm.
He should remake it.
I don't think
so. But with a saucy grandmother.
I really like it the way it is.
Madea's gaslighting. There you go. I fixed it. You're welcome.
We're back to, is it called Robin Hood?
Just or? Robin Hood. Yes. Okay. It's no.
Prince of Tides.
No. I don't think he was ever a Prince of Tides. Just a Prince of Thieves.
So Barbra Streisand is not involved?
No. Well, I mean, not that I saw.
Is Kurt Russell in it?
No, though that would have been spectacular.
Is, I want to make sure.
Alan Rickman, no. It's not.
Is Jeff Goldblum in it?
No, that would be spectacular. Actually, you've assembled like a cast that would have definitely improved.
So I'm going to assume Nicolas Cage is in it.
I don't think he turns movies down anymore. So if he's not in it, it's almost certain that he wasn't asked to be in it.
I see. He is the 21st century's Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah. If there was a Jaws 5, Nicolas Cage would probably be in it.
You know, and Adam and I would like to say one more time.
We would definitely be in
Jaws
5.
We would be in any of your crappy movies.
If you've ever even heard us mock it or say that it offends us, that doesn't mean we wouldn't be in
we would take the money.
Sequel or the direct-to-video.
We would do this.
Whatever you want. I'm just saying. Putting it out there.
So Robin Hood stars Eggsy from
The Kingsman.
Mm-hmm, who is adorable.
Which is not necessarily one of the qualities that you're looking for in your hooded Robin.
I see. He's a bit of a Muppet. Or has he outgrown that some?
I don't
remember what he looks like.
Performance-wise,
I gotta look at him again.
He isn't doing necessarily anything wrong with the role, but I don't think that he has the physical presence in order to pull it off.
Is it kind of like when River Phoenix was the young Indiana Jones? Is this the young Robin Hood?
He's definitely young, but I don't necessarily think it's the boyhood tales. Like it starts at the junction point that a lot of Robin Hoods seem to, like with him coming away from the Crusades back to his house. He's much younger than say Russell Crowe did it 8 years ago when he was Robin Hood.
Russell Crowe was Robin Hood?
Yeah. In 2010, Ridley Scott directed him.
How did I miss that?
It's actually pretty good. Like, honestly, I enjoyed it. I was kind of sad, not much came of it.
See, now I want to see it.
And, well, this isn't going to surprise you, Jane. I have it. You can borrow it if you like.
Really?
It's Ridley Scott. Even Ridley Scott's, worst day.
It's pretty good.
It's still better than a lot of people.
From the trailer, and I, much like the Arthurian myth, which you and I love.
Funny enough that they also tried to start a universe, with last year. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
I heard that was horrible. Haven't seen it.
Yeah, lost a lot of money. This movie was also supposed to be the beginning of the Robin Hood universe.
Do you own the King Arthur?
Yes.
Okay, I need to see that.
Yes.
So I guess I won't get rid of my what's it called, a DVD player after all.
Well, I mean, I also own the digital, so I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's, okay. It's however we need to do it.
So, in the trailer, and I wanted to say, yes, I'm very familiar with many iterations of the Robin Hood myth, but in the trailer, it looked like it was a young Robin Hood, but he was actually Batman because, oh, is he this or is he that? Is he this guy? No, he's that guy. That's what I was getting from it.
The issue, besides creating a franchise before you've released your first film, which... I think it's just karma. Dark Universe, King Arthur Universe, Robin Hood Universe. DC and Marvel seem to be the only two that be able to manage to do this in any, workable way. I think this film made $12 million its opening weekend. Mm. And the budget, without, advertising or any of that thrown in, was well over $100 million.
Do you think it will do well in, let's say...
It's not. No.
Oh.
It's
in
it's
another
actually,
land?
It's doing worse overseas.
Ooh, wow.
This thing is not only not going to start a universe, they're going to owe money. I guess they've already spent. I'm just saying, this thing's in the hole.
Wow.
It will not turn. It would have to do just gangbusters.
So basically you saw it alone.
There was two other people in the theater.
Did they work there?
I don't know. It was dark.
Okay.
So they... They could have. It's very possible that I was the only actual customer in the theater.
What is good about the movie? Let's pretend there are no other versions. What's good about Robin Hood?
Ben, I think it's Mikkelsen. He played He was in Rogue One. He was the main villain in Rogue One, whose name is escaping me right now. The one that kind of shepherded the Death Star.
Yeah,
along.
Yeah, that guy.
Yes, he plays the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
That bit of casting, I think, worked for me. But a lot of the other choices...
Jamie Foxx in there?
Jamie Foxx is Little John.
Okay.
I think a lot of people assumed, I think, that he was playing Azeem. However... that character was created specifically for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Mm-hmm. And if you use that character, Robin Hood himself is in public domain. If you use Azeem, you have to pay, I believe it's Morgan Creek was the one that produced that. Whoever the rights holders are to either Warner Brothers, you would have to then pay the money to the person who wrote that screenplay and created that character.
And for those who don't know, Robin Hood had come back from the Crusades, but he had made a Muslim friend, and he brought his friend with him.
Which is precisely what happens in this one as well. So,
so
you would not be amiss for assuming that it was Azeem.
So he there is an Azeem, but they gave him a different name, like Kazam or something.
No, his he is Little John. Little John. Little John is not an English, a very tall, large Englishman. He, basically, they took Azeem and named him Little John.
So Little John is the Muslim friend.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that ain't right.
Well, I'm the messenger. Just telling you how it happened.
Okay.
Would
it have been better if it had been Kevin Hart as Little John?
Yes. I don't listen. Like I respect Jamie, like Jamie Foxx. Enjoyed him in Collateral. The man, either as an Oscar nomination or a win for Ray. Jamie Foxx does not. He does not have an untalented body of work.
Yeah.
I don't think Little John was the role for him.
Okay.
And he's trying to play like in Mask of Zorro. He is kind of taking the role that Anthony Hopkins had to Antonio Banderas.
So,
in that movie.
So I'm guessing casting was just looking for a short man of color. And so that was left with him and Kevin Hart. And I guess Kevin Hart was busy.
Like Dwayne Johnson like was probably already filming six movies. And they're just like, we can't hire him.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that kind of saddens me because I really enjoy the Little John interplay with Robin Hood.
Well, I mean, you still can, except... this time it's Jamie Foxx.
Completely different.
It's in living colors, Jamie Foxx.
So is he like a super ninja? Is that what I'm getting from the trailer?
Everybody in this movie shoots
is a ninja.
Bows and arrows like they are the frigging Green Arrow.
Did Michael Bay direct it?
No, I don't know that. Funny enough, Leonardo DiCaprio produced it.
I see.
Which, because he has his own production shingle, Appian Way, and I notice it at the beginning of the movie and I go, wait a minute. So right before I leave, I stick around long enough to see Leonardo DiCaprio produce the movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now.
He was never on set.
You want... No. I completely doubt it. Because the director would have immediately asked if he would have played Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. Because this movie would have... I guarantee you this movie would have opened to at least $30 million.
Now...
if you would... I think that is the issue. Like, there's a lot of... kind of a mishmash. Like sometimes it wants to be Game of Thrones. Sometimes it feels like it's a medieval like version
romp?
Of CW's
Is
era.
Is it ever a romp?
There romp. Are fun parts of that. Like it's not just a dreck for 2 hours, but it doesn't like amount to anything that you ever just go, I want to do this again, or I need to see where else this goes.
So as you're attempting to enjoy it, did you find it was just the script, the style of shooting, the just everything's a mess?
Picture, if you will, if you got your second or third choice on everything.
Mm-hmm.
The film is not shot poorly. It's honestly, like, I would say on par with some of your better, like, more overproduced television programs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it doesn't feel like a $100 million movie to me. Like... you didn't have an actor that you could guarantee, like, people would come to. Like I said, Leonardo DiCaprio in the lead role? Yeah, that gets you a $20, $30 million opening. You've got eyes on that. You get Leonardo DiCaprio in that role, maybe you get larger actors to fill out, like, the supporting cast. Like, okay, The Kingsman, which Eggsy, who were the same star of this, you've got actors surrounding him that are immensely talented. You have Samuel L. Jackson. You've got Colin Firth. You have all these people surrounding him that kind of fill out that star power, because I don't think he can necessarily open his own movie yet. And I don't think any of these actors necessarily can open their own film at this point. They're not untalented, but I just don't. I don't ever say, "Oh, he's in it. Well, I have to go see that opening weekend." You've got a director, Otto
Preminger.
No, that would have been interesting. You have a director that I've never heard of. He's probably done like a good deal of commercial and probably TV work. Like, you need someone like a Tarantino, the aforementioned Ridley Scott on Robin. You would have been better off taking the Robin Hood from 2010 and building a universe out of that. Like, speaking of like really talented cast there, you have Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. You've got Galadriel herself playing Maid Marian.
Why did I not see this?
I can't tell you, Jane. They advertised it like.
Oh, and it was 2010?
2010. So, I mean, eight years ago. Like.
I was busy.
Honestly, I think you would have been better having Kevin Costner revisit the role of Robin Hood 20-some-odd years later and have that character explore that world. There's just everything about this felt like it was the second or third thing they wanted. The script isn't terrible, but it isn't that good either. Like, there's a lot of cliches in it. Like, you need, like, an Aaron Sorkin. You needed at least one lightning rod to really make this thing an event. And that's what your movie has to be if you want to create a universe. The first Iron Man. Like, you've got a lot of talent shown on that. Like, Robert Downey Jr. was a risk, but it was a risk that paid off. Jon Favreau, maybe not a proven talent at that point. You have all of this, like, assemblage of... You had Jeff Bridges, like, in one of those roles. You need something, I guess, that people can kind of gravitate toward, because the cast itself wasn't so untalented that you wouldn't see any of that. But like I said, it just nothing of it is exceptional. If this was a TV movie, like if this was like a Sunday night movie on ABC or something, people would have been raving about it. But as a theatrically released film, I cannot think of anything that I have not seen done in it that I have not seen done somewhere else, either in a previous Robin Hood film. Like I said, it feels like they are taking just episodes out of CW's Arrow and applying it to this.
So
he himself is an archer that robs from the rich. I get what they're doing there. And Arrow itself took a great deal from the Robin Hood myth when they were creating Green Arrow, who himself feels a lot like a ripoff of Batman, that they're also doing in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, they wanted to be Game of Thrones. They wanted to be Batman Begins. They wanted to be Arrow. They wanted to be political intrigue. But you can see all of that done better in other locations.
It's a bummer.
It's like a not name brand buffet. It's got steak. It's an $8 buffet. It's all you can eat. It's not great steak, but I mean, at least you can eat all the steak you want, even if it's, you know, three steps above bologna.
I believe this horse is beginning to turn.
I'm just like, it's not the dumpster fire that a lot of critics have just like tossed at it. It is watchable, but there's nothing exceptional about it, and I don't feel I need to revisit it.
I see. Well, should it show up streaming somewhere at some point, I may turn it on.
It's almost in parts so bad it's good in like kind of the cliches with it, but it's not quite so bad it's good either. Mm-hmm. It's not even so bad that it's
good. It's not like Sharknado funny. No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's as middle of the road as you could get it. And if, like I said, if you want to create a universe, like when they did Man of Steel, you got Christopher Nolan and one of the gentlemen that had participated heavily in the writing of those movies to kind of set up Man of Steel. Like, he produced that, got Zack Snyder in. Man of Steel, for better or for worse, started off the DC universe. And we're several films in, maybe not to the success level that Marvel is, but that's a better way that you start a universe. Marvel does gangbusters with Iron Man, comes out of the gate. All these other ones don't seem to understand why people wanted to visit these universes again and again and again, and we're getting these like $150, $160 million adaptations of these things that no one was asking for, and literally they just stopped dead in their tracks. Like I don't know if it's because they're putting the cart before the horse, if they're counting their eggs before they're hatched or what, but like you can't just be like, this is a franchise. Like you have to give people a reason to show up. Like The Mummy, that I think did a lot of things right, did a couple of things wrong, but you got to do it all right if you want to have like a self-sustaining 10-year franchise that makes $15 billion, i.e. Marvel.
Now, you can answer this for me. So, Robin Hood, probably going to have to take a pass, but it's not horrible.
And if you don't, I'll tell you this, if you don't do it now, you're not going to see it in theaters. I'm saying you better do it right as you are hearing this. In the podcast, you better do it now because it's probably about to come out of theaters.
So, what we're excited about, I know both of us are, on the 21st, Aquaman.
But for different reasons, I believe.
Yes, but also he talks to animals.
He's kind of like Dr. You're Doolittle. Seeing this because of Dr. Doolittle.
But here's my actual legit question. So, I'm going to say that Aquaman, it could just be 2 hours of him standing there. This movie is going to make a lot of money. Beyond that, this is what I don't know. Who are the other characters that would then be next in the Aquaman franchise? Because I'm sure there will be at least one more, if not 15.
Well, keep in mind that Aquaman is part of the DC universe. Like, okay. He was spun out of, for better, however you felt about Justice League, that is the character's, like, real
first
appearance.
So that's how he was introduced?
Appearance, yeah.
Okay.
And, like, for everybody that wants to bemoan Justice League,
I like that
it
movie.
Did $200 million in the U.S. Like, it wasn't the Avengers-sized success that Warner Brothers wanted, but I'm going to remind you, the last Avengers movie just made $2 billion. Everybody wants Avengers-level success.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League, like, also gave us The Flash, which has a standalone film planned.
He was epic in that.
I'm just pointing out, like, if you didn't like Justice League, it's going to give us Aquaman. And even if it's not, say, The Dark Knight Reborn,
mm-hmm.
I think it's enough that the film is going to warrant, like, its inception.
So that means basically any DC villain could, in the future, have to deal with Aquaman.
Well, I mean, hypothetically,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, hypothetically.
Like, if they were talking to Henry Cavill about guesting in Shazam.
Did he play Jesus?
No, that's no. The different. That's Jim Caviezel, not
okay.
Henry Cavill.
All right, because that would be
Henry
very
Cavill
strange.
Would be a ripped.
I mean,
Jesus
to have Jesus and Aquaman.
God
be
help
strange.
The centurion that messed with Henry Cavill as Jesus.
Yeah,
that's a movie I'd watch.
Yeah, that would be. Well, Aquaman
and
Jesus
I mean Superman
would work.
Itself is a I pretty mean, heavy allegory too, like Christ as well in most cases.
As is E.T. Did
just,
you not know
just
that?
Just putting out... Well, I mean, Henry Cavill didn't play E.T., which, by the way,
would be interesting.
God help the FBI agent that messes with that E.T.
Okay, so if you're writing the sequel that we know will happen, who are you going to have mess with Aquaman and pollute the waters and this and that? Mr. Burns?
Black Manta is apparently showing up in the movie, but I don't see him as the main villain. It looks like it's his brother. In this movie, I would say they're kind of hinting at Black Manta to be the larger villain in the next movie.
Does Black Manta ever fight Black Panther?
No, they're from different universes.
But in theory, I mean Superman, Batman.
Well, right, but they're from the same universe. Like, they can do that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Marvel, Black Panther.
Gotcha.
DC, Black Manta.
I don't know how I mixed those up.
I don't either. It's a common mistake. I mean, honestly, like Aquaman, if it does like the business that Wonder Woman did, like here's the problem with those characters. Batman and Spider-Man have rogues galleries like to fill a library. Like, you remember the library from Beauty and the Beast, the animated mm-hmm, version, mm-hmm. when she's just singing and dancing around that thing doing backflips in it? That's how deep their rogues galleries go. Name me 5 Aquaman villains.
I can't name you any.
And don't name other Batman villains that just so happen to have fought Aquaman.
A shark with pointy teeth. I mean, I...
Can you name me Wonder Woman's villain in the sequel?
The Russians?
No, it's okay. it's
the Germans?
Cheetah. But
the Germans,
I'm just saying, like, unless you're deep cuts and these... Like, these characters do not have that pantheon of villains to draw from.
So, do you think then the writers will create?
No, because then you
get... The fans would crucify them?
That's when you get Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. They were like, yeah, there's 60 years worth of history on this character, but I can do better. I can do better. Here, yeah. We'll do this.
Well, and you can't. Okay, so the next movie you're going to review on our next podcast is...
Instant Family.
Instant... Kind of like instant soup, I guess. Just add water.
Exactly.
Except,
I mean, not... Exactly. Just, they're not edible.
Exactly.
Families aren't edible.
I don't know.
If you take nothing away from this podcast today, families are not edible.
Gingerbread men families are edible.
They... I mean, if you're not a gingerbread man... Then it's cannibalism.
Not my gumdrop buttons. Okay, so...
Cannibal Christmas starring Gingerbread Man.
This was not a review of Aquaman, because it's not out yet, nor a medical podcast on the sugar sickness.
This was the sugar. Superman's got the kryptonite, baby. Come here. We'll get you some of the UV yellow sun's rays to heal you up good.
This was actually a review of Robin Hood, which is basically meh.
You should probably just watch any other version of Robin Hood.
Okay, there you go. One. All right. Well, thanks for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.